I'm delighted to have speaking with me. It is, of course, Bill Turnbull, and we're going to be speaking about his latest book, The Bad Beekeepers Club.
Hi, Suzanne. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you today?
Yeah, I'm pretty good, thank you.
Excellent. I'm glad to hear it. Now, of course, just starting back in your journalism days in 1978, did you ever think that you'd find yourself on Mastermind with a specialist subject of beekeeping?
No, absolutely not. If you'd told me, I'd have thought you had been drinking. Because, I never really thought about bees at all when I was growing up, or even as a young man. And sort of the only thing I thought about was wasps, and I've never got on with them at all. So, and as for Mastermind, no, it'd be crazy, absolutely crazy notion. So it would have been daft.
And how did you feel when you sat down in that infamous chair? Did your mind automatically go blank?
No, well, just terribly, terribly nervous, really. You're very concentrated. I wasn't worried about things about sort of being blank. It's interesting when John Humphreys asks you the question. You get a bit. He takes quite a bit of a run-up, you know, about 20 seconds to ask the question, and you know which department. So your mind is sort of going through files very quickly when he says, okay, something about queen bees, all right, go to that department, and then you go through the different files, so that hopefully by the time he's finished the answer, you have the file with the correct answer. By the time he's finished the question, you have the file with the right answer in your hand, so to speak.
Perfect.
Or in your brain, anyway.
Oh, so that's very helpful of John Humphreys. Thank you for the little bit of thinking time there, if you like.
Yeah.
Now, of course, I understand it was a swarm of bees entering the garden of your house next door 17 years ago, which first lit your interest in bees. Can you tell us a bit more about what happened on that day and how a visit to the vet was the first step towards your involvement?
It came in two parts, really. One was the swarm landed in the garden and settled on a weeping pear tree at the bottom of our garden, and we called the police, actually, because it seemed the natural thing to do, and they put us in touch with the local beekeepers association, and a man came along very calmly with I'm not even sure he had a veil, actually, and simply snipped off the branch that contained the bees and dropped them very gently, lowered them into a cardboard box, and eventually took them away. And I thought, that's a really cool thing to be able to do. And then years went by. We went to live in America when I was watching the correspondent for the BBC, and I never gave it any more thought until one day I had to take one of my chickens to the vet, and I saw while I was waiting in the waiting room a sign saying beekeeping lessons, and I thought, that must be the sign. Now is the moment. This was meant to be.
I meant to be. It was literally the sign, wasn't it, really?
Yes, it was. It was the sign. And then I signed up for lessons with the Pinner and Reislett beekeepers, and I've never looked back. And the price I pay for it is I'm now president of the Pinner and Reislett beekeepers.
Wonderful. Yeah. So from that sign, you're now president, you're head of the tree, if you like.
Yeah, exactly.
Brilliant.
Although I think, I'm not sure they get much out of the deal, apart from having my name on their stationery.
Well, I'm sure they're very proud of that, Bill. Now, of course, I understand that your first foray into the beekeeping suit was a painful experience. Did that put you off?
Well, it should have, but it didn't. And that was sort of one of the themes of the book, really. I managed on my very first day out with some live bees to get stung on the head twice before I'd even entered the apiary, which, you know, actually takes some doing. But I thought, there were some guys waiting to show me how it all worked, and I thought, I can't back down. I wanted to go home and say, forget it, obviously it's not meant for me. I thought, no, I've got to carry on. They've taken the trouble to come out here and show me what it's all about, so I have to move on. And so I exercised fortitude, and part of the book is about the virtues that you learn as a result of beekeeping like that, and thrift and enterprise and endurance and all those sorts of things. So I learned something that day.
Absolutely, because those bees, they're a pretty organised group, aren't they? I think they probably saw you and went, right, how are we going to approach him?
Yeah.
And two strayed out.
The two bees that stung me came from another swarm, funnily enough, that was nearby. And they took an interest in my hair. I was still wearing some gel on my hair from having been in the studio that day. And I think they liked the smell because it was a little bit sweet. And then it got stuck in my hair. And then I panicked and swatted them, which was the last thing you could do.
Mm.
And so it was more my fault than theirs.
Oh, that's very humble of you there. The bees were in the wrong. I guess when you get to know these things, you know how to approach. But it's learning the hard way sometimes, isn't it?
It is. And as a beekeeper, the first rule that they teach you is that you will get stung. And you do get stung. And I've been stung many, many times in many different places. But I always reckon it was more my fault than the bees' fault. Mm-hmm. And as you get more experience, you do get stung less often. And this year, touch wood, I haven't really been stung properly at all, so I'm quite pleased about that.
Oh, that shows progression, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Wonderful. Now, you've been going for 10 seasons, haven't you?
Yes, that's right, yes. But I'm not necessarily getting any better in terms of having a honey crop. This year I had 10 hives, up to 10 hives. I've got about 8 now. And so you should have an average of about 50 pounds a hive, really. So I should have maybe at least 400 pounds of honey. Well, I've got about 30 pounds of honey off the lot of them instead. And I don't know where it's all gone, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah. And part of it was there wasn't enough rain early in the summer, and then they did make some honey, and then I should have taken it off at the end of July, but I thought, no, I'll wait a little bit longer, and then it rained throughout August, and they took it all back.
Oh, that's the thing. You never know. It's such a dependent thing, I should imagine, on the seasons
it
and
really
the kind of weather.
Is, and I have a lot of my bees on a farm where they have clover fields, and if it, you know, either it doesn't rain enough so the clover doesn't come out, or it rains too much so the clover doesn't come out, and I never seem to catch them in between the two. But to be honest, I'm more interested in sort of propagating the species, really, and keeping the bees alive.
Yes.
Than taking in the honey.
Yes, absolutely. We'll move on to that in just a moment. But what have been the highlights for you, and what things do you now cringe at when you think about them?
Oh, gosh. The highlights. Well, I suppose one of the highlights was in my first season, really, when I had my first colony of bees, and I entered some honey into the National Honey Show, which is held at Weybridge. Well, it's not far from you, actually.
Oh, yes.
At St. George's College.
Oh, yes, round the corner.
At the end of October, or middle of October. No, hang on.
Yes, yeah, it is in October, isn't it?
Right.
Yes, that's right.
And anyway, so I entered a jar of honey thinking it won't get anywhere, and I got third prize in the Middlesex class, even though I live in Buckinghamshire. Long, complicated story. But as a result of that, I was declared to be the best novice beekeeper in the whole of Buckinghamshire, and I won a cup. I don't think I'd ever won a cup before in my entire life, so I was very proud of
that. Oh, congratulations.
But then, sadly, the bees that produced that honey upped and died for some reason in my first season, so I'd start all over again.
Oh, they'd peaked.
Yeah.
Given their best.
Too early, I think.
Exactly. Mm. Now, of course, did the beekeeping classes at the Pinner and Ryslip Beekeepers Association give you an idea of exactly what you were letting yourself in for at the time?
Largely, it's very good theory that they gave you, and I think they were quite correct. They said, you know, before, like, if you're learning to be a pilot, you know, you have to learn your theory before you go out in a plane. So they told you how to make frames and how to build a beehive and how the system works and what the bees are like, and all that theory was very useful. What they can't teach you is the feeling you get when, for the first time, you go into a hive on your own, and that is quite an experience. It's like a bit like flying solo. I mean, now, you know, I do it in the blink of an eye, and it doesn't really bother me at all. I love going and sort of communing with the bees so and such, but that first time is quite daunting.
Oh, gosh, yes. Can't even contemplate it, really. You just imagine them coming towards you. I think it'd be most people's, a number of people's worst nightmare, really.
Well, I fool them by, the beekeepers usually use smoke, which makes them think there's a fire nearby, and they have to load up with honey because they think they're going to have to leave, and then by the time they realize there's no fire, they're full of honey, so they're quite docile.
Oh.
And I do that, but I also spray them with sugar syrup, which is like spraying football fans with beer. You know, instead of fighting you, they think, this tastes nice, and they just sort of lick it off each other, and they don't mind what you do.
That's great. Oh,
yeah,
very inventive.
Great.
Very good. Very, very cunning.
Yeah.
Now, of course, you mentioned it earlier, and obviously I know myself, we had the Bumblebee Conservation Trust on the show, and there's a very real threat to our bee population, and it's still uncertain exactly what's causing a decline in their numbers. Do you have your own theory of why it's happening and what we can do to improve the situation for these creatures?
Well,
they're so vital to us.
There are two different problems. One is the colony collapse disorder, which hasn't really happened here in Britain and Europe. It's more in America, and I think they are getting closer to, I think it's a combination of causes. And one of them is the way they've dealt with bees on an industrial basis over decades, really. But here is a couple of things. One is, on continental Europe, they've had a real problem with pesticides, which they're getting on top of. And here in Britain, we've got the Varroa mite, which has been a bit of an issue,
yes.
But we're learning to deal with it. And also there's this big drop in numbers of bees for a couple of years because we had a couple of damp winters. And bees don't mind cold, but they can't stand damp. That really does for them very quickly.
Mm.
And beekeepers will tell you that you will lose, actually, you know, you can expect to lose 1 in 4 of your hives over winter anyway, either because the colony is slightly week or something goes wrong. I mean, I lost one because a woodpecker got drilled its way through the side of the hive last year, and they do that. So something will go wrong, but you reckon to lose one in four, maybe one in five. Above that, you need to start worrying. But I think, you know, it's a canary in the coal mine at the moment. I don't think it's too much of a problem, but we have to keep our eye on it.
Absolutely. Yes, and I understand that you're committed to quite a bit of charity work, and you've been known to don a bee suit to raise funds.
I did that for the London Marathon a few years ago. I'm a patron of a charity called Bees for Development, which supports beekeeping in the developing world and helps fight hunger and poverty through beekeeping, because their mantra is, if you're not wealthy enough to have some cattle or some pigs or some goats in the village, you can at least afford to get hold of some bees, and they help people do that and market their honey. So I've been helping with that for a few years, and I did run the marathon 5 years ago in a beekeeping suit, which seemed a good idea in theory.
Yes.
Till I tried it in practice, then it was actually rather hot.
Yes, and trying to breathe.
Yeah.
Yes, a real challenge, but good for you for doing that. That's amazing. And of course, it's such a process, without going into it in too depth now, obviously, time allowing, but obviously without the bees, it has such a knock-on effect to everything else. Like you said, it can help those countries to create honey, but also without the bees' appearance, there's going to be a lot of other insects and birds and animals and habitat that's going to disappear.
Well, it's hugely important for pollination, really, and particularly the way that we grow our crops now. And so things like sort of apples and pears and all that, and so many fruits require bees and bumblebees to pollinate them. So having to start pollinate some trees by hand in China, but so we've got to keep our eye on it, certainly. Yeah,
definitely. Now, what advice would you give to anyone thinking about taking up beekeeping?
Okay, I'd say you've got to be patient. You've got to be fairly committed. You need to understand that that you will get stung, and probably quite a lot in your early days. And that's okay. It's like being, you know, jabbed with a needle. It's all right. It's really wonderful when the pain wears off.
Oh, yes.
But it is immensely fulfilling. It's not a joy that you get, but there is a deep sense of satisfaction I get out of going to see the bees, particularly on a nice sunny day when they are in a good mood and they're not bothered by you getting in amongst them. And it's terribly peaceful. And when you put your head in a beehive, you can't really think about anything else. You know, you just concentrate on the puzzle that the bees present you, because every hive is always asking a question as to what needs to be done next.
Mm-hmm.
If you come away from that after about an hour, your head is completely clear of anything else you were concerned about beforehand, and it's like being transported to a different world. It's very satisfying.
Oh, that's wonderful to hear. And it obviously focuses the mind when you've just got a hive of bees to concern yourself with. I would imagine that would be quite focusing.
Yeah, and particularly because you get asked these questions, you know, do I do A or do I do B? And as a bad beekeeper, naturally, I always choose B, which is the wrong answer. You know, at the time, I think, that's a really good idea. Let's do B. And, of course, it turns out to be the one that really gets you into trouble.
Well, you see, this is the thing, isn't it? This is why you've penned your latest, The Bad Beekeeper's Guide, Beekeeper's Club, rather, because it's a way of helping people to understand beekeeping humorously, like you've been doing on the radio today, and sort of giving people different insights. So that's going to be fascinating.
I mean, I suppose the point of it is it's not a book for beekeepers at all. It's really to... I get asked about beekeeping so much, I thought, well, I'll demystify it and I'll explain to people who don't keep bees and may have no intention to keep bees ever, just what it's like and how honey's made. And then it became sort of a humorous recollection, really, of all the daft things that have happened to me in beekeeping over the past 10 years. So I hope it serves three purposes, really. One is to find out about beekeeping. The second is to have a laugh. And the other is to marginally find... It's a sort of self-help book to discover you can become a better person through beekeeping, but that's not really very serious.
Well, what more could you want from a book? To be entertained, enlightened and educated?
Well, I hope so.
Sounds pretty good to me.
The way people feel, yeah.
Well, actually, the time's flown by in a terrible bee pun-like way. I'm sure they'll be swarming to the talk. But of course, time has flown. It has been brilliant. You've been a wonderful guest. Thank you so much, Bill, for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, pleasure. I'll let you get back to the bees.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And that's Bill Turnbull, the wonderful author of his latest book, The Bad Beekeeper's Club.